Imagine a time when there is great tensions between two different cultures and races. Imagine a time when human sacrifice and the killing of innocents is rampant by the tens of thousands or millions. Imagine a time when illness plagues a community for which there is no cure or vaccine and millions die. Imagine a time of great fear and tension and anxiety about the end of the world. When you think of something like this, you might be thinking, well, now, abortion, racism rampant in our country, especially now between our government and Hispanics or black and white. You may think, well, now, government abuse, abuse of power. But that was actually happening during the time of Juan Diego. The Spaniards and the Aztec peoples and Native American, various Native American tribes in the land they had conquered, sacrifice of children, not just abortion today, but to the sun god back then, to appease the sun god in their temples. You think of the abuse of power, the first audience, the first governor of Mexico, raping women, enslaving Native Americans, selling them off to slavery, contrary to Spanish law, and they tried to kill the bishop of Mexico City, who was defending the Native Americans and trying to communicate with the king what was happening and constantly blocking him, and then even tried to kill him. We think of the abuse of powers today and certain rights that are being robbed of our citizens. What was happening then during the time of Juan Diego, the fear of the end of the world, all in 1531, Halley's Comet, solar eclipse, a massive earthquake, and then one out of every four Native Americans were killed by these European diseases brought over by the Spaniards. You think of COVID not long ago and new diseases popping up again with the ending of the vaccinations of children. What was happening then is happening now. And the fear of the end of the world, tsunamis, the shootings again against our Jewish brothers and sisters today in Australia, and the shooting at Brown universities, the violence, the killing, the ongoing war in Ukraine. And in the midst of the fears and the tensions and the racism and the human sacrifices and the abuse of power and governments, at the end of the year in 1531, December 9th, Our Lady of Guadalupe appears. And she appears as a Spaniard and as an Aztec. She is mestizo. She is a mixed race. She is dark-skinned. She is the lowest of the rung of society back then. The mixed children, often, more often than not, the product of rape by Spaniards of Native Americans, children that were left to die of starvation. The Spaniards wanted nothing to do with them because it reminded them of their sins. The natives wanted nothing to do with these children because it reminded them of being conquered and dominated by the Spaniards by force and violence. And she appears as one of them. She speaks Nahuatl, and she insists that Juan Diego be the one who goes to the bishop, no one else. There are many others, she says, I can pick, but it must be you, Juan. The same name as John the Baptist. His Native American name means the eagle that speaks. You think immediately of John's gospel, symbolized by the eagle from the book of Revelations. It must be you, Juan Diego, that brings my message to the bishop. And the bishop asks him for a sign. If this is truly the Mother of God, as you say, then I need a sign. He doesn't say what. He doesn't ask for anything specific. He just says, I need a sign. And what does Our Lady of Guadalupe do? She literally fulfills the words of the book of the prophet Isaiah. The desert and the parched land will bloom with abundant flowers. Her sign for the bishop, the top of Tepeyac Hill, arid, sand, no plants but cactus, in the middle of winter, filled with blooming Castilian roses. The words of Isaiah become realized through the very words of and actions of Mary, 1531, on Tepeyac Hill, and she places these roses, in Juan Diego's tilma, and he brings it to the bishop to give him the sign he asked for, not knowing the far greater sign hidden behind the roses that she arranges in his mantle, in his tilma, that with the bishop would see as he presents the roses to him. See your sign, bishop, and out flows these beautifully lush, in full bloom, roses from the hometown of the bishop in Spain. There was no DHL back then, or UPS, right, in 1531. But beyond the miracle, these roses in December the 12th, was the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. She perfectly encompasses both cultures. And she tells Juan Diego, I am the mother of all peoples. I come to bring them together, of all peoples of this land, regardless of tribe and race and culture, creed. I am the ever-perfect Holy Virgin Mary, the mother of God. I am not God, but I come to bring you God. And in the image of the tilma, you see this four-leafed flower, only one of them, right on her belly. For the Native Americans, it symbolized God, divinity. The sash above her belly let the Native Americans know that she was pregnant with God. They didn't know anything about Christianity, but when they saw the tilma, which perfectly encapsulated their culture, their faith, their beliefs, their traditions, and she spoke their language, they knew she was a virgin. Her hair was parted down the middle. They knew she wasn't God because her face wasn't covered. And they knew she was praying not because her hands were folded, but because her knee was bent. She's dancing. To dance is to pray. Just seeing that image, they saw, using the perfect enculturation of everything they knew and believed, communicate the Christian faith. This empress, by the color of her external robes, who is a virgin, who is the mother of God, comes, and she comes to bring us the true God, the Savior of all. And she is greater than the sun god to whom we fear, who have been the cause of the sacrifice of our children and the children of other tribes that we have kidnapped in war. She covers the sun, and she comes to bring consolation and hope to a people filled with fear, wrapped with tension and racism and concerns, and she brings peace. While 5 million Catholics leave the church in Europe for the Protestant Reformation during that same time period, over 9 to 11 million Native Americans are converted to the Catholic faith. She says what Isaiah foretold in today's first reading, be strong, fear not, here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense, he comes to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open. You who do not know him will know him and you will seek him out. Native Americans came from all over who had never seen a priest or heard anything about Christianity in any way, shape, or form. They saw the tilma and they went to the brown-robed men, the Franciscan friar missionaries, and insisted they put water on their head. I want to be baptized. So many requested it that even in one day, two priests did 15,000 baptisms in one day. They had to request permission from the Pope to abbreviate the liturgy to accommodate the numbers. The Aztec peoples who were accustomed to polygamy gave up their polygamous practices to reflect and imitate the very plan and nature of God in the human person, one man made for one woman, faithful, fruitful, until death, free in their choice and commitment. Over 500 couples at a time would be married in the Catholic Church. There was a springtime of faith in the world like never before. No one has ever converted more people by the numbers than Our Lady of Guadalupe. And she literally embodies the scriptures. She literally embodies the eternal word of God in her womb, who is Jesus Christ. She is the living tabernacle of the Most High God. And she assures the people that God has come. When a plague hits once again 10 years after the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, as it was the custom before her apparitions, the priests of the Aztecs would gather up the children, bring them up the temple, and one by one cut out their hearts while they're alive to appease the sun god, to bring an end to disease, death, drought, etc. Now that Our Lady has appeared, the Catholic priests rounded up thousands of children, gave them flowers, and processed them to the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, where they prayed and venerated her, and instantly the drought ended and the disease stopped spreading. Those who the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. She said, I want this temple built here in my honor so that you can come and bring your tears to me, your heart, your concerns, your fears, and I will hear you. I will listen to you. I will help you. I will answer you. If only you come to me, build this temple here on the top of Tepeyac Hill, and you will see that I will be a mother to all peoples. You no longer need to be afraid. The tensions between the Spaniards and the Aztecs ended. Now the Spaniards bring, through the Franciscan missionaries, the gift of faith, the fullness of faith. Mary refers to God when she speaks of him to Juan Diego with the exact same phrases that the Aztec peoples referred to their God, acknowledging the fact that they desired to know God, but they didn't have the fullness of the truth, and here he is. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, about one another, that you may not be judged. The tensions between the two races had ended. There was peace and reconciliation. They became one people, one faith, one God, one Lord, one baptism. They became brothers and sisters. Mary brought them together. She was the voice crying out literally in the wilderness of Tepeyac Hill, prepare the way of the coming of my Savior and yours, Jesus Christ. We celebrated her last Friday. The flowers that are here remain from that celebration. Today being Rejoice Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, appropriate that we have an abundance of flowers, though they'll be removed as we return back to the penitential aspect of the Advent season and the more immediate preparation of Christ's birth. And John the Baptist, later Juan Diego, prepares for the coming of Christ and realizes he is the one of whom he spoke of, because Jesus tells him, or tells his disciples to tell him, how do you know that I'm the Messiah? The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. That's literally exactly what the prophet Isaiah said would happen when God comes. Strengthen the hands that are feeble, make firm the knees that are weak. Here comes your God with divine vindication. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be cleared. They will leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will sing. Jesus is showing John the Baptist's disciples, I am literally the fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah said would happen when the Messiah comes. And notice that he comes speaking to the sick and the poor. It's not just a spiritual renewal, rebirth of a sight of faith. It is a literal physical act of justice and attention to those most rejected, most vulnerable, most poor. That is a sign that God has come. And we as missionaries and disciples, by virtue of our baptism, are called to be the embodiment of this good news toward our neighbor. How are we helping the poor? How are we helping the sick? How are we helping the homeless? How are we helping the unborn, the immigrant, the orphan, and the widow? What are we doing to manifest that God has come into our lives and to show to the world in these tensions and problems today, as it was 500 years ago, that God has come and Our Lady brings him, and we are sons and daughters of her, Our Lady of Guadalupe. They will only know that when we become the hands and feet of Christ as he calls us to, by making manifest in the world the work of God. The sick are cared for and visited. The imprisoned are visited and prayed for. The immigrant is assisted and helped. The orphan and the widow are given a hand. Those who go hungry are fed. Those who mourn are given cause for rejoicing. As we rejoice this Gaudete Sunday and prepare for the birth of Christ, the scriptures remind us once again, as John the Baptist was, as the prophet Isaiah was, as Juan Diego was, so you and I must be, if we are truly to be sons and daughters of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Her appearance in this part of the world 500 years ago transformed the Western Hemisphere. And that transformation, while it began 500 years ago, is not meant to end, but to continue to grow and be renewed once again. Now is the time. Now is the moment. May our works, reflecting a gratitude for God saving us while we were still sinners, be made manifest today, so that everyone may truly know this Christmas that God has come. There is no other, and we must give thanks and praise for him who has come to save us.